Hi, everybody, and welcome to English Digest. My name is Joe.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
We're on our third and final day talking about Jack Kerouac. On day one, we talked about his masterpiece, On the Road, his novel, which was actually about himself and his travels around the country as a young man. On day two, we learned about his real life. We learned about his biographical information. He was born to French-Canadian immigrants. Mm. He spoke French at home, and he still managed to become a master of the English language, and he really captured a certain period of American history when young people were starting to question authority and question all the things they were told by their elders. And sadly, although he was very successful, he was also a very conflicted man. He drank himself to death eventually. He did live a life of debauchery at the time.
Yeah, he sounds like he was ultimately quite sad. He didn't have much of a personal life. Like, he didn't have, you know, people around him, it sounds like, who would love him and care for him. So sometimes that leads to self-destruction, and that's what happened here. Today, though, we're going to focus more on the novel On the Road, some of the themes, some of the messages that it had within it. But first, as we always do, guys, we're going to read through the content.
On the Road contains several ideas that resonate with young readers who are searching for meaning and direction in their lives. One recurring theme is the rejection of authority. Sal and Dean are pursuing a life free from the rules and restrictions of society. Both men constantly ignore the pleas of their friends and family, who urge them to put down roots and become responsible adults. Often clashing with law enforcement officers, their deviant behavior and chaotic lifestyle were their attempts to defy authority. The book also offers a unique perspective regarding minority cultures in America. At the time On the Road was published, the U.S. was entering the civil rights era, as African Americans were struggling to be accepted in mainstream American society. Sal and Dean are looking to escape from it. They feel imprisoned by society's expectations of young white men in the U.S. and feel more comfortable and creative in the African-American jazz clubs and Mexican bars they visit. Sal and Dean believe that there are advantages to being part of a minority, as it allows people to live simple lives outside aggressive social expectations. The theme of the American West plays an important role in the book as well. In American folklore, the West is portrayed as a promised land where people can seek a brighter future and start their lives anew. As he drives across stretches of vast farmlands, Sal imagines that he is entering a wild frontier like the cowboys of old. Yet, when he arrives, Sal realizes that the Wild West of yesteryear is dying, as technology is erasing the charms of the Old West. His illusions are shattered, but as his journeys end, his new life just begins.
Okay, guys, let's look at day three of our literature unit, On the Road with Jack Kerouac. It says here that On the Road contains several ideas that resonate with young readers who are also searching for meaning and direction in their lives. If something resonates with you, it means you relate to it. It appeals to you personally. There's something about it that you can really understand well. So there are some ideas in this book that the readers read and they go, yeah, I feel like that. That's me. That's me right there. So one recurring theme is the rejection of authority. If something recurs, it just means it comes again. It happens again. You see it more than once. And it's a theme that you see several times throughout the book. And that's the rejection of authority. If you reject something, you say, no, I don't want this. And authority is just represents the adults, I think, in the world who have the power to make rules and decisions that affect people's lives. We always talk about the authorities as being people like, I guess, government officials, the police, Your parents would be at the authority in your life if you're younger. So they don't want that. They want people to stop telling them what to do.
That's right. Sal and Dean are pursuing a life free from the rules and restrictions of society. They don't want either of these things. They don't want rules. They want to make their own rules. And they don't want these restrictions. Restrictions are kind of like rules. They are things that you are not allowed to do. Mm. So you can say you can't do this, you can't do that. You'll see restrictions everywhere. For example, if you go to visit a park, for example, there will be a sign at the front of the park saying,
yeah,
you cannot have your dog off your leash, or you cannot have a campfire.
You can't feed the ducks.
Can't feed the ducks. All these different things. These are restrictions, a list of things that you cannot do. So They didn't want these rules and restrictions of society. If society at large said, you can't do this, you can't do that, they would immediately say, that's exactly what we're going to do then.
Yeah.
We're not going to live by your rules, and we're not going to pay attention to your restrictions.
Well, the next sentence says, both men constantly ignore the pleas of their families and friends who urge them to put down roots and become responsible. Yeah, become responsible like us. We're responsible adults. Now, if you constantly do something, this is very similar to the word continuously, remember? Constantly means it doesn't happen without stopping, but it happens a lot. So they're constantly ignoring or not paying attention to the pleas of their friends and family. A plea is when someone uses a lot of emotion and asks for something from you. And it's very serious, you know. Sometimes we use this when someone's pleading for their life. Maybe someone has the power to kill them, and the person who has the power doesn't want to listen to their pleas. And, of course, this is a countable noun. The friends and family who are pleading with them are urging them, begging them to put down roots, which means to settle down. I think I used that phrase, to put down roots, in an earlier program. And just become responsible adults. Get a job. Get married. Have some kids. But they don't want that. They don't want anyone limiting them or their freedom.
That's right. They want to be free to go where they want and
yeah,
to do what they want, which is the opposite of putting down roots. Putting down roots just means you settle down, and for lack of a better word, you kind of become boring. You don't really do too many exciting things. You can put down roots, and you can still live a meaningful and exciting life.
But hopefully.
In those times, put down roots just meant you stay in one place, you do your job, you don't change your work, you just keep doing the same things from now until the end of your life, basically.
Yeah.
That's all you're going to do. They didn't want any of that. Now, often, clashing with law enforcement officers, their deviant behavior and chaotic lifestyle were their attempts to defy authority. So they were often clashing with law enforcement. If you clash with someone or something, it means you are against that person or that thing. You don't believe the things that they believe, or you don't want to follow their rules. Law enforcement, that's police officers. Enforcement here means to make sure rules or laws are followed.
Yeah.
So we can say police officers, or we can say law enforcement officers. It means exactly the same thing. They're the guys and women in uniform who make sure people are not committing crimes out there on the streets. So, Dean Moriarty in the book and Sal Paradise, they were often clashing with law enforcement. They were getting into fights because they were living a life of debauchery. They were out there getting into trouble. We describe it here as deviant behavior. Deviant means it goes away from what is normal. It's perhaps considered strange by most people.
Or immoral.
Or immoral or illegal. That's deviant behavior. Behaving in a way that most people would not. And also it says they have a chaotic lifestyle. Chaotic here. Chaotic refers to the word chaos. It means there are no rules. There are no laws. It's just everything is happening with no reason behind it whatsoever. And they were doing this to defy authority, to go against the rules of society, to say no to all those laws and all those restrictions and morals. They didn't want any part of that.
They sound like a bunch of teenagers to me right now. Well, the book in the second paragraph says, the book also offers a unique perspective regarding minority cultures in America. A perspective is just a way of looking at a situation. Usually your perspective includes your background. It kind of shades or affects how you see a situation. Your perspective is probably different than somebody else's. Minority cultures would be anybody outside mainstream America. Of course, in a country, you're going to have lots of different types of groups, lots of different types of opinions. There will be a majority that kind of believe the same thing, and then there will be other groups that just disagree with that. So it really showed that there were other types of thinking groups in America that maybe we didn't always hear about in the media or in our culture, because that was usually a place where mainstream America was represented, not minority groups.
At the time On the Road was published, the U.S. was entering the civil rights era. Mm-hmm. So this was a time in United States history when African Americans in particular were trying to stand up for their rights. They
Sure.
were not treated as equals
No.
With Caucasians or white people in American society. And they were standing up and saying, this isn't right.
We're not taking it anymore.
We're not going to take this anymore. So they were staging protests. They were having large marches.
Uh-huh.
Figures like Dr. Martin Luther King and
right.
Malcolm X were leading the African American people to stand up for their rights. So we call this the civil rights era. Civil rights just refer to rights such as voting, being treated equally
yeah.
under the law. It's basically your treatment in regard to the laws of a place or a country. And an era is a specific period of time. We like to break down history into eras so we can talk about it more easily
uh-huh.
or so we will recognize certain periods of time as being associated with certain things that happened at that time. So the civil rights era, when we're talking about that, we're mostly referring to, say, like the late 1950s and the 1960s. It was a very interesting, very tumultuous, at times violent, scary, and chaotic time
yeah.
to be around, and that's where On the Road came from.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to learn a lot more about the themes of the book and how it corresponds to this era of history. Before we go on, though, let's listen to our Chinese teacher.
大家好，欢迎收听 English Digest， 我是 Sunny。今天我们要阅读的是 Unit 15 On the Road with Jack Kerouac 文学单元的第三天课程。今天的文章陈述了几个 On the Road 这本小说中的重要概念。第一段就提到小说主角的一些反权威行为引起了年轻读者的共鸣。我们看到这一段的第二句， One recurring theme is the rejection of authority. 有一个反复出现的主题就是对权威的拒绝。名词 rejection 是拒绝否定的意思，它的动词是 reject， R-E-J-E-C-T， 后面再接上名词，表示拒绝或是否定某事物。例如 The committee rejected my proposal， 委员会否定了我的提议。另外还有一些动词也有拒绝的意思，例如 refuse， R-E-F-U-S-E， 后面可以接上名词或是不定词 to v， 例如 Kevin refused to take part in this boring activity，凯文拒绝参加这个无聊的活动。片语 turn down， T-U-R-N D-O-W-N 也可以用来表示拒绝的意思，例如 The company offered Angela a job but she turned it down， 那家公司提供安琪拉一份工作但她拒绝了。 Decline， D-E-C-L-I-N-E 也是拒绝的意思，但是 decline 是用来表示委婉而且有礼貌的拒绝。例如 Lynn declined Trevor's invitation to dinner， 林婉拒了崔佛的晚餐邀约。我们接着看到第一段的最后一句， Often clashing with law enforcement officers， their deviant behavior and chaotic lifestyle were their attempts to defy authority。 他们时常和执法人员起冲突，而他们脱序的行为和混乱的生活方式就是为反抗权威所做的种种尝试。我们看一下这句的动词 clash， clash 的意思是冲突、激烈争吵。 clash with somebody 就是指和某人起冲突。要注意的是，有一些动词的字形和 clash 很像，但是意思却不一样哦。像是 crash, C-R-A-S-H, 它的意思就是猛烈撞击，或是电脑宕机，或是股市暴跌。举个例子， To everyone's shock, Jeff survived when his plane crashed into the sea. 令每个人震惊的是，杰夫在飞机坠入海里后还存活了下来。另外还有个动词是 crush, C-R-U-S-H, crush 的意思是压扁、压碎或是镇压。例如 The front of the truck was completely crushed in an accident. 这辆卡车的车头在一场车祸中被彻底压扁。最后还有一个动词是 crunch, C-R-U-N-C-H, 它的意思是嘎吱嘎吱的咀嚼，或是嘎吱嘎吱的踩过、压过什么东西。例如 Bill crunched on potato chips while watching TV. 比尔看电视时嘎吱嘎吱的吃着洋芋片。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. So we're back. We're talking about some of the themes, some of the messages in On the Road that was written by Jack Kerouac. What he wanted to actually communicate with what he wrote. Joe, I'm just curious, when you're writing your own books, do you always think about themes that you want to express?
You try to. You know, it's difficult as a writer to express it creatively or in a clever way and not be so direct with the message.
Like you're preaching
to someone. Like you're preaching to it. And that's Kerouac was very skilled at being able to do that.
He was subtle?
Yeah, he was just presenting society as it was, but he wasn't necessarily preaching. And yet, all these themes were very apparent to his readers, and it was very representative of the place and time in the United States.
Well, as we left off before the break, we know that it was a time of a lot of unrest. There were civil rights protests going on. And Sal and Dean, they were trying to escape from mainstream American society. They feel imprisoned by society's expectations of young white men in the U.S. And they just wanted to relax, feel more comfortable, be more of an individual. They wanted to be creative. And so they spent a lot of time in African-American jazz clubs and Mexican bars that are shown throughout the book. Now, if you feel imprisoned, it's almost like you're in a prison. You have no freedom. People are telling you what to do every minute of the day. And if you're talking about expectations, we're talking about hopes and beliefs of people that they place on you. They think you're supposed to be a certain way or achieve a certain level of professionalism or success in your life. We often talk about our parents' expectations. Remember, guys, it's always with an S. I teach a lot of business English in Taiwan, and people always say expectation. No, this must be plural. Someone's expectations, because they never just have one expectation. So just learn to use this in the plural form. What people want or hope that you'll produce or become.
So Sal and Dean, they were very different because at this time, minorities, say like African Americans or Hispanic peoples, like Mexicans, for example, as we're saying here, they didn't mix a lot. They didn't hang out together because it just wasn't done at that time. Although there were people that did, but they were very, very few. So Sal and Dean were going to these African American jazz clubs and Mexican bars, and they believed that there are some advantages to being part of a minority, as it allows people to live simple lives outside aggressive social expectations. Now, this is probably not something that the minorities themselves believed. They didn't think there was a lot of advantages because minorities were not treated very well at that time. They perhaps earned less money. They were given less respect in society. Some people would just view them as being criminals or being immoral in some way, and this was just purely based on the color of their skin.
Mm-hmm.
But Sal and Dean believe there were advantages. If you have an advantage, it means you have something that makes it easier for you to do something, something that makes you better at doing something than somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
They believed that it was better to be a minority, or there was an advantage to being a minority, because it allowed these people to live a simple life. There were no expectations on them because people didn't expect them to do anything at that time. Remember, we're not talking about present day. We're talking about decades ago when people's attitudes were different. And they also believed that this let them be free of these aggressive social expectations. If someone or something is aggressive, it goes after something or pushes something in a very active way, where it really kind of gets in your face. These social expectations of the time for people like Sal and Dean, who were Caucasian or white people, they were aggressive because, as we said, you were supposed to go to school, settle down, get married, have a job and a career, and just not shake things up too much. You're just supposed to follow the rules.
Don't cause trouble.
don't cause chaos. And as we said before, they didn't want any of that. So they kind of thought, well, it'd be nice to live like a minority because nobody expects anything from these people.
But they're thinking this as a white man, which means they have the freedom, the ability to go back and forth between those worlds.
Nowadays, we call that kind of white privilege.
That's
the term that gets thrown around a lot these days. So, yeah, I'm sure the minorities, if they could hear that, be like, what are you talking about? Okay, you come live as me. You come live as a black man in the United States for one day, and you tell me about the advantages that I have.
Well, the theme of the American West also plays an important role in the book as well. The American West, as you see portrayed in Western films, looks kind of dangerous and wild, but free.
Romantic.
It is. They romanticized the American West. But there weren't a lot of rules, you know. It was a new land. People were settling there. And you could do what you wanted to do. You could get away from society's expectations that had already set in on the eastern coast of America. But by the time Sal and Dean get out there to the west, it's already changed a lot. It's become more like the east coast as well. So in American folklore, the west is portrayed as a promised land where people can seek a brighter future and start their lives anew. And actually, in the 1800s, there were a lot of people that came from the east and moved to the west because maybe they had done something they were ashamed of, or they didn't want to be associated with their families for some reason, and they would move and start a new life. You could then. So a lot of people always portrayed the American West as being a promised land where your dreams would be fulfilled and come true.
That's right. A couple of hundred years ago, you could move out west and you could get land very cheaply.
Yeah.
Sometimes it was even free because the United States government was trying to settle those lands, meaning they wanted white settlers to go there and live so they could kind of claim the land from the native peoples that had lived and settled there actually for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
But you could go out there, you could get your piece of land, start your life anew. But Sal and Dean kind of realized, well, this is not the case anymore. As he drives across stretches of vast farmlands, Sal imagines that he is entering a wild frontier like the cowboys of old. We're talking about stretches of land here. This just means, this refers to distance. If you talk about a stretch of land, it just means a certain distance. We don't know exactly, but it usually refers to a long distance, like a stretch of highway, for example. And we're talking about vast farmlands, so these are very big, wide open places.
I always think, too, when I see stretch of land or stretch of farmland, I always think of a flat piece of ground.
Like
rather
a prairie.
Mountains and stuff, yeah.
Sal imagines that he's entering a wild frontier. In this case, frontier is a place where that is kind of wild. It's not settled. There might not be a lot of people living there. And that's how it used to be. And when the cowboys, farmers in other words, when they were heading west, like say in the 19th century or like the early part of the 20th century, mostly in the earlier history, like a couple hundred years ago, they were getting to this wild frontier. There weren't a lot of people there. Yet when he arrives, Sal realizes that the Wild West of yesteryear is dying. Yesteryear is a word we use just to refer to the past. It can refer to long ago. And this image of the West, it's dying because of technology. It's erasing the charms of the Old West. To erase something means to make it no longer visible or it's no longer there.
Uh-huh.
It can be literal. Like if you have some writing on a piece of paper and then you take your eraser, like on the end of your pencil, you can get rid of it and
remove it
so it's not there. In this case, it's figurative. Mm-hmm. It's erasing the charms of the Old West. So the charms, which is something that Stephanie talked about before. It was romantic. It was wild. Not a lot of rules. But then we're talking about the 1950s, not the 1850s here.
Yeah,
so
no kidding.
All those rules and all those regulations and restrictions, they had come along to the Old West too. So the Old West wasn't there anymore.
Yeah, and it was erasing the charms of the Old West. Those charms, things that are lovely, charming, pleasant, things that make you like something. His illusions, it says, are shattered. If you have an illusion about something, it's an incorrect idea based on something that's really not true. And if you shatter something, you break it into small pieces. That's the literal definition. This is figurative, which just means they just are ruined, you know. We often talk about someone's life was shattered. You could say his life was destroyed. His illusions were destroyed. But as his journeys end, his new life just begins. And so both of us really recommend that you get a copy of this book and check it out. It's a really interesting style of writing, which is always good to look into if you're interested in writing particularly. Right now, guys, we're going to listen one more time to our Chinese teacher.
文章的第二段提到 Sal 和 Dean 觉得美国社会对年轻白人男性的期待太高，因此他们觉得成为少数民族的一部分反而比较自由。因为社会对少数民族不会有太高的期待。我们看到第二段的第三句 ,As African Americans were struggling to be accepted in mainstream American society, Saul and Dean are looking to escape from it. 当非裔美国人正在努力获得美国主流社会接纳时，萨尔和迪恩则试图逃离之。这个句子开头的 as 是连接词，它用来表示时间，意思是当什么什么的时候，就相当于 when， 例如 I met Paul as 或是 when I was taking a walk around the park， 当我在公园里散步时，我遇到了保罗。另外 as 当连接词的时候还可以用来表示原因，意思就类似 since because， 像是第二段最后一句的As it allows people to live simple lives. 还有最后一段倒数第二句 As technology is erasing the charms. 这两个 as 都是因为的意思。我们再举一个例子 David went to see a doctor as 或是 because 或是 since he wasn't feeling well. 大卫去看医生因为他觉得不舒服。文章最后一段提到 Sal 前往他心目中理想的地方，美国的西部，但却发现美国西部并不如他想象中那样的迷人。我们看到这一段最后一句说 His illusions are shattered, but as his journey ends, his new life just begins. 他的幻想破灭了，不过当他的旅程告终时，他的新人生才刚要开始。这个句子里有一个名词 illusion， 意思是幻想。错觉，它的搭配句型是 be under the illusion that 点点点，就是指有什么样的幻想或是错觉。例如 ，Judy was under the illusion that she was the most intelligent student in her class。朱迪幻想自己是班上最聪明的学生。以上就是今天的课程讲解，谢谢收听。
We hope you've enjoyed learning all about Jack Kerouac and his great works of literature, in particular, On the Road. If you've never read Jack Kerouac, that is an excellent place to start with this book. It's an excellent representation of the place and time where he grew up and of America at that time in general. We're out of time for today, so until the next edition of English Digest, I'm Joe.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.